Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Americans catch an estimated 1 billion colds each year, forcing us to miss 40 million days of work in school and to make 100 million visits to the doctor. Remarkably, there is still no cure for the common cold, but that hasn't stopped consumers from spending billions of dollars every year on antibacterial sprays, cold. Joining us today is Jennifer Ackermedes. Joining us today is writer Jennifer Ackerman to talk about her fantastic book, Achoo, The Uncommon Life of Your Cold. In Achoo, Jennifer tackles widespread myths about colds, tracks current research and scientific advances, and sifts through the treatment chatter to figure out what actually works to ease symptoms, what doesn't, what can't hurt, and what might actually make you feel even worse. Jennifer Ackerman is also the author of Sex, Sleep, Eat, Drink, Dream, A Day in the Life of Your Body. Her essays and articles have appeared in the New York Times, National Geographic, Scientific American, More, Health, Real Simple, Women's Health, and many other publications. Jennifer, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
It's great to have you. Jennifer, in the introduction to Achoo, you ask a great question. You say, what is a cold anyway, if you can tell us?
Sure. A cold is a mild illness caused by a virus infection in the nose. And we all know the annoying symptoms, the sneezing, runny nose, congestion, sore throat, cough, sometimes headache, and just generally feeling lousy. And they usually last on average for about a week. But as you know from personal experience, the really severe ones can last for two, even 3 weeks.
Yes, it was pretty severe. Now, you know, something that really surprised me in Achoo is one of the world's foremost experts that you speak with, and you speak with a lot of amazing experts on cold in the book, is Jack Galtney. I hope I'm saying that right. Junior, he's a professor emeritus at University of Virginia School of Medicine, and he said, quote, the greatest myth about the common cold is that susceptibility requires a weakened immune system. Now, why do you think that myth is so prevalent if it's not true?
Well, I think people have some misconceptions about just what the immune system is and what it does, and you know, that we've been showered with advertising from various products purporting to boost our immune system, and you know, we all assume that's a great thing. It would be a wonderful thing if all of these fortified cereals and supplements and natural remedies could actually make our bodies produce instant antibodies to a particular cold virus. I should say there are more than 200 different viruses that cause the common cold,
mm-hmm.
and when our bodies encounter a cold virus, we eventually produce antibodies to that particular strain. And if we encounter it again, then our body is protected from that particular strain. But then there are hundreds of other ones out there. And the interesting new insight into cold science is that the symptoms that we experience when we have a common cold is not the result of the destructive effects of a virus itself. They're actually a result of the body's own immune response to the virus. So when we get a cold virus, our body produces what are called inflammatory mediators. And these chemicals actually inflame the cells and tissues in our nose and our throat. And that's what makes us experience these cold symptoms.
Oh, okay. So it's actually a good thing in a way that that's happening, even though it's highly unpleasant. As it shows,
yes,
your body's working.
Your body's producing the normal amount of these inflammatory mediators. And the problem with this misconception that susceptibility to the cold requires a weakened immune system is really there's no scientific basis in it. And it is possible that if you actually try to boost your immune system with the wrong kinds of elements, you could end up aggravating your symptoms rather than helping to ease them.
Now, what are some of those wrong elements?
Well, the body makes these inflammatory mediators are things like cytokines, prostaglandins, interleukins, kinins. They're these powerful little chemical messengers that cause the blood vessels in the nose to dilate and leak, and they stimulate the secretion of mucus. They activate the sneeze and cough reflexes, and they also set off pain in our nerve fibers. So if an immune-boosting substance contained any of those kinds of chemicals, theoretically anyway, you might experience more exaggerated symptoms.
Oh, I see. Now, are those common in some of the natural remedies, perhaps, or the echinaceas or the zincs?
Yeah, this is the problem, really, is that we do know that some of these herbs and these supplements and can seem to raise certain levels of certain immune products. They seem to have an impact on the immune system, but we don't really know whether they're affecting the right cells and molecules to prevent colds or reduce their severity. You know, most experts agree that we just really need more research on this topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what's so interesting is that, you know, with all the science and technology, it still seems like we're still a long way off, but people are trying to figure out more and more ways to at least, you know, get some of the symptoms more comfortable, you know, and I was so happy to read about the chicken soup that there actually is some science behind that.
Yes, it's it hasn't been tested in humans, actually, but there was a wonderful story that I encountered and told in the book about a pulmonary specialist, a lung specialist at the University of Nebraska, whose wife had a recipe that she got from her Lithuanian grandmother for chicken soup. And they have a big family, and they were frequently down with colds. And every time somebody got sick, his wife would make this wonderful chicken soup. And so he said, well, okay, I'm going to put this broth to the test. And sure enough, in the laboratory anyway, in the Petri dish, there were some elements of chicken soup that actually had anti-inflammatory effects. So this would work to ease symptoms a little. But as I said, it's never been tested in humans. And so we don't know for sure whether, there are actually medicinal effects. But I certainly, the nice hot broth is hydrating.
Yes.
It feels good. And often it's made and with a lot of tender, loving care, and I think that's an important element as well.
Well, I love sweet potatoes, so I'm actually going to go to the store later. I want to make it because I've never had chicken soup with sweet potatoes before. And what's so great is the recipes in the back of the book.
Yes, I was excited about that section. There's a whole section on comfort food, basically, for when you have a cold, and the recipe from this the pulmonary specialist's wife is in there, and also from Lynn Rosetta Casper, who's the host of The Splendid Table, and she has a wonderful chicken soup recipe, and there are a number of other recipes as well.
Yeah, it's really nice. Now, Jennifer, when are colds most contagious? This is something I've heard before the symptoms show up, but I think in your book it said, was it 2 days after you start coughing and sneezing?
It's actually the first three days. Of a cold are when we are most contagious, and what happens is that the most common cold viruses grow mainly in the nose, and they like to travel in nasal secretions from your nose to your hand or an object or another hand, and from there to a new nose.
Yeah.
So when people have colds, the nasal mucus they shed actually harbors millions of virus particles, and that's especially true in the first 3 days of illness, so that's when we're most contagious.
Yeah, and I was also surprised to read that kissing or sharing drinks is no great hazard to catching a cold. I mean, I knew about the points of the nose and the eyes, which I still think is really interesting that you rub your eye.
This was a fascinating study to me. It turns out that the most common cold virus is a virus called the rhinovirus. It causes probably up to half of all colds. And this family of viruses rarely enter the body by way of mouth. And so it turns out that your saliva actually harbors little or no cold virus. And sneezing expels secretions from a pool of saliva at the front of the mouth, not the nose. So really, the way these viruses like to travel is by, from hand to hand. And so you're a lot less likely to get a rhinovirus from kissing than you are from a simple handshake.
My daughter, I'm very affectionate, and so is my daughter. So she was asked, actually, at school to stop kissing all the other kids. And she would just kiss them on the cheek. I mean, she's very sweet, but she likes to kiss. And yet they have this thing where you walk in the door and the principal greets every single student and shakes their hand. And my daughter's sick all the time. And the other day the teacher said, boy, your daughter's missed a lot of school. And I wanted to say, well, what the heck do you think that is? And I love the school, and I'm not going to say the name, but I just thought that was such an odd thing because it really is hand to hand. And you know, four to six-year-olds are always touching their face and touching their eyes.
That's right. In fact, all of us are. You know, it's a very difficult thing to avoid touching your face. These bugs do enter through your eyes, and they travel down the tear ducts into your nose, and they also go straight into the nose. But, you know, even kids have a terrible time not touching their face, but even adults do, too. You know, just try it for a day. It's really hard.
Yeah, that's true.
Got it myself, and, you know, turns out that most of us really touch our faces, you know, hundreds of times a day, and it's a really hard habit to beat. But I tell people, you know, if you want to avoid a cold this season, start practicing now.
Exactly. And then the importance of washing hands. And I'm curious, you know, I'm a bit of a germaphobe, and you talked about a few. I think Kathy was one you mentioned in the book. And I tend to carry the Purell everywhere. And, you know, I'm just, for listeners are curious, is that actually working to prevent colds, or is that just not really doing much?
Well, the very best thing to do is just use regular old soap and water. You know, that it's the mechanical act of washing your hands with soap that that actually dislodges them. It's not that they inactivate the cold virus or kill them or anything. It just dislodges them so they are rinsed down the sink. So you really have to vigorously rub your hands, all the surfaces, you know, between your fingers, under your fingernails, for about 15 to 20 seconds, and this will wash off the virus. Antibacterial soaps are no more effective than plain soaps when it comes to colds. They're aimed at bacteria, and colds are caused by viruses, as I've said. So just, you know, simple hand washing is a good thing. I don't suggest being, you know, Lady Macbeth about this. You don't have to be germophobic about it. But it is a good idea to wash often, especially after events that involve a lot of hand contact, like sports games, you know, where kids are high-fiving each other, or business meetings where everybody's, you know, running around with a handshake. And as for hand sanitizers, you know, for a long time we thought these were pretty good substitutes, you know, if you didn't have soap and water handy, that you could use hand sanitizer. And I know many people in the field of infectious disease who use hand sanitizer, you know, to help with resisting colds. But there's actually a brand new study just came out that says that it really doesn't significantly decrease your chances of infection with cold virus. So I don't know. You know, I still occasionally use it, but I'm not sure that it's making a great deal of difference. If you do use hand sanitizer, make sure that it's at least 60% alcohol.
Okay.
That's really important.
Oh, good. You know, another thing I was surprised to read is that wiping down a machine at the gym only spreads the germs, so it's better to leave it as it is and wash your hands. And I also, when I go to the supermarket now, they have little sanitizing, you know, things you can pull out and wipe off your handle. And being a germaphobe, I always do that.
Right.
So now am I just making it worse? Or I guess if you're just wiping down a machine at the gym, you're probably just using a plain towel. So
yes,
my
gym actually offers sanitizing wipes, and that's what we use.
Oh, okay.
If you're just using a regular old towel, yeah, you're just wiping things around. You're not actually doing much good.
Now, what are some tips for parents who are always catching their children's colds?
Kind of mini quarantining your kids, and that doesn't mean, you know, wrapping them in plastic or something. It just means that washing their linens separately and using a disinfectant on doorknobs, crib rails, diaper pails, all the things, places where these viruses hang out, commonly used surfaces, and you know, and as we've learned really pretty recently, it's important for everybody to get a good night's sleep when your child is sick. And that the studies are really pretty solid that a good night's sleep is, you know, is one of the great ways of preventing colds. People who sleep more than 7 hours a night are less likely to get colds than people who sleep less than 7 hours.
We are so doomed, because my daughter has some neurological stuff and she's never slept through the night. So she's thinking between shaking the principal's hand.
Oh my goodness.
And we're up every night. But you know what? I mean, that was something I read and I said, oh, you know, there's certain things. What are you going to do? But if you can sleep through the night, then obviously it's a great thing to do. Now, Jennifer, I'm curious, what did you find most fascinating in your research, or what did you find most surprising?
Well, I think one of the most surprising elements for me was this idea that we basically make our own cold symptoms. I think that's very interesting, and it's counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was fascinating to me. I also was just really interested in, there are a lot of really fun and revealing stories about ourselves in the common cold. I think of the cold as a kind of lens on who we are, how we see our bodies and what we expect of medicine and how impatient we are to get well, you know, when we're sick.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And also how germophobic we are and how gullible, you know, we're easily taken in by wild promises and we're willing to experiment on ourselves. So,
oh, yes.
I really love to hunt and gather in researching a book like this. And for Achu, I dug into the literature and laboratory work and found some great stories, among them the kind of weird cure that was endured by Calvin Coolidge in the 1920s, you know, 3 days in a chlorine chamber.
Yes, so interesting.
Yeah, and then there was the tale of the mouse that sneezed, which is a mouse that's actually genetically engineered to catch human colds. And then I also offered myself up as a guinea pig in a number of cold studies, including one in which I had myself deliberately infected with a cold virus. And like you, it turned out to be a very bad one. It was a quick spray at the nose, and it landed me with a humdinger of a bug that lasted a couple of weeks.
Oh, my goodness. And didn't your sister say, you know it's just going to go right to your chest?
Yes, and that's exactly what it did, yep. And then there's rolling up an orange peel and sticking it in each nostril, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the cures were pretty wacky, but not all that wackier than some of the things that we're doing today.
That's true. And speaking of things we're doing today, I was really, interested in seeing that vitamin C and zinc do not help fight off or shorten colds.
That's right. You know, this is disappointing to a lot of people, and it certainly was for me. But unfortunately, you know, zinc lozenges were the things that I always gave to my kids when they were sick, and you know, I took myself. But I think the effect, if there was any, was probably the placebo effect. And that I've spoiled for myself. The latest reviews of the studies of zinc. Now, the studies of zinc have been very mixed, but the reviews really indicate that there's, as of yet, no therapeutic value, and really the only consistent effect reported by the really high quality studies is a kind of bitter medicinal taste in the mouth. And you know, as for vitamin C, it's probably one of the best studied remedies out there. Disappointing news is that if you take it on a regular basis, it really doesn't help to prevent colds, at least in the general population. And if you take daily vitamin C during a cold, it actually may reduce the severity of symptoms a little tiny bit, and that's probably because of its ability to dry up nasal secretions. And there was a sort of interesting caveat to the vitamin C story, which is that there does seem to be some preventive benefit for people who are engaged in endurance exercise or people who are exposed to extreme cold. And those studies suggest that for these people, a daily dose of a couple hundred milligrams of vitamin C actually reduces the incidence of colds by about half.
Oh, okay. You know, speaking of exercise, my husband and I always argue. I always tell him not to exercise when he's sick. And he said, if it's just a cold, it's okay. If it's the flu, it's not. But I'm always the more like, well, it's better safe than sorry. But if he's, you know, coughing and has, you know, sneezing and sore throat, should he be out exercising?
You know, it's fine for him to exercise if he has a cold.
Darn, I want him to stay home and help me with stuff, okay? I'm not going to let him listen to this. No, I'm just joking.
Well, that's another matter. But there's a sort of a rule of thumb, which is the neck up. If you're experiencing just nasal symptoms and, you know, a little bit of sore throat, you're okay. If you have a chest cough, if you have, you know, stomach ailments, if you have a fever, you should not be exercising.
Okay.
But the neck up rule is pretty, pretty reliable.
Yeah. Well, your book is so fantastic. Achu, The Uncommon Life of Your Common Cold, Jennifer Ackerman. I really highly recommend people check it out. It's got such great stories, and it's been such a pleasure having you on. And how can people learn more about you and your wonderful work?
They can go to my website. It's Jennifer Ackerman. That's one word, JenniferAckerman.net. And I've got lots of information about the book, a link to a video, and a number of links to my other books and articles.
Well, if people want to reach me, they can go to www.itsyourhealthnetwork.com. You can watch It's Your Health TV. You can listen to audio archives of It's Your Health Radio. You can check out what's going on KKZZ 1400 Talk in Ventura County, where I co-host a show on the Freeman Michael Show once a week, Wellness Wednesdays. I hope everyone has a great day, and wash those hands. All right. Thanks again, Jennifer.
Thank
Take
you
care.
So much, Bye-bye. Lisa.